Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing on this first Sunday of 2019? Are we good? Yeah, come on, that's right. My people have turned up. That's awesome. What a great way to start 2019. Hey, it's so great to see you. Allow me to wish you a very, very happy new year. I hope it's been off to a great start. And hey, do you know what? I'm believing that 2019 is going to be our best year yet. Because why not? We have a great God, and so we can believe for great things. Amen? Fantastic. Well, why not turn around and just wish someone around you a happy new year? Now, I know that we did that at the beginning, but maybe if you were late or, you know, let's just get reintegrated. That's right. Love it. Love it. We're going to get comfortable with each other right at the start of 2019. Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, for those of you who might not know, as Chloe mentioned, my name is Sidara, and I have the privilege of being on staff here at The Rocks, and I also have the privilege of bringing you the first message of 2019, which is my greatest honor. And just want to touch base with what Chloe said before. If you're new here, you're visiting us, then allow me to extend my welcome to you as well. Our slogan around here, as you already heard, is no perfect people allowed. And that's because we believe that none of us are perfect. So I just want to let you know, if you thought that church was a place that you only came to after you got your life sorted, I want to let you know that that is not the case at all, and that you are welcome here exactly as you are. I also want to welcome those of us who are joining us online on YouTube. If you're tuning in right now live, welcome. Great to have you tuning in. Or if you're catching up with us later on podcast, great that you're catching up and tuning in as well. Okay, so like we've been saying, it is a brand new year. And we're kicking off a brand new series. And like you heard with on Six Packs with Sid, whoever that crazy lady was, it's a brand new year, perhaps for a brand new you. Now, around this time, I don't know if this is something that you do, but a lot of people make some New Year's resolutions. They set some goals down. They set some things down that they want to see or they want to achieve in 2019. And I do that too. And a hot question around this time of year, and actually throughout the whole year, is this. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life, and how do I find it? How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what choices God wants me to make? How do I know which decisions are right for me, are in plan with God's will for my life? And listen, I get it. In today's world, we've got so many options, so many choices that are open to us that it can be difficult when it comes to making a decision. Now, sometimes, even in the simple things, we get so much choice. The other day, I was opening up Netflix because I wanted to watch a movie. And when I got to Netflix, I found that I had to choose between I could watch an action movie, I could watch crime, I could watch a thriller, I could watch a suspense movie, I could watch a comedy, a romantic comedy, or I could watch a movie with a strong female lead, because now that is also a category on Netflix. Amazing, lots of choices. On Boxing Day, I went to buy a pair of jeans. I went to Maya, I went to the jeans section, and there were so many choices of jeans. I could buy straight jeans, skinny jeans, slim jeans, boyfriend jeans, girlfriend jeans, mom jeans with holes in them, jeans with no holes in them, although the option there should be quite clear. But so much choice, so many options, it's difficult to make a decision. Last December now, our staff team at The Rocks, we went to the Hyatt for our Christmas lunch. I think we've got a picture. There we are. Yeah, we all turned up like that, coincidentally. That was not planned in the least. So we went to the Hyatt for our Christmas lunch, and it was a buffet. And that's awesome because I love food, so I love buffets. I was like, yes. But I stood there for a little bit because there were so many options and so much choice, I didn't know where to start. But Pastor Daniel took a picture of me coming back from the buffet. So clearly I figured it out. Six Packs with Sid. But life throws us so many options, so many choices that we get to choose between this or that. Should I date this person or that person? Should I marry that person? Should I live here or there? Should I take this job or that job? Should we have kids or should we not have kids? Should I stay home at work or should I stay home with my kids or should I work or should I move to this country or that country? So many options, so many decisions to make. Decisions, 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 and decisions are important. You know, Craig Rochelle says that the decisions that we make today will determine the stories that we'll tell tomorrow. That's good, isn't it? The decisions that we make today will determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. It has an impact on the rest of the course of our lives. So how do we make good decisions? How do we make decisions that are in line with God's will when there are so many options, so many choices? It seems like we need some help. It seems to me like we need some guidance. In fact, you might even say we need some divine direction. And that is really what this new series is all about. God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your will for my life? And how do I find it? Now, I remember coming to a few crossroads in my short existence of 32 years. And in fact, let me tell you a story. Who wants to hear a story? Yeah. Great. A number of you. Since you asked me so nicely, I'm going to tell you a story. Now, I went to university in England, and I was there for a number of years, and I studied psychology, and then I went to do a master's in corporate psychology, and I loved what I did in uni. I loved it. I did well at it, and they offered me a PhD position at the end of my degree, and I thought about it, but I had to make a decision, and I was like, you know what? No. I'm so excited to get into the world of work. I'm so excited to climb that corporate ladder, and I'm excited to get into the real world and get my hands dirty and get into it. So I thought, no. Do you know what? I'm going to go and apply for some jobs. So I went and lined up some interviews, and that was great. And my first interview was with Rolls-Royce, you know, the automobile company? I walked into their headquarters in Derby, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I had an interview with them. I was so excited. And so the interview process continued. And halfway through, I was really excited. But at the back of my mind, there was something niggling that I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And as I went to interview after interview and interview after interview, I found that there's this thing that I just couldn't shake. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there came an opportunity on my desk to do an internship, an unpaid internship with the church that I was going to at the time. Now, when this opportunity came up, I laughed because I was like, well, I've just done 4 years of university. I am now not going to consider doing an unpaid internship at a church. Like, do people even work at church? Like, is that even a real job? I didn't know at the time. And so when I was faced with this decision, I was like, well, it seems to be a no-brainer, right? Of course I'm going to stick to my guns, and I'm going to stick to the plan that I had, and I'm just going to continue and become a corporate consultant because that's what I thought I wanted. But you see, the thing was, I couldn't shake this opportunity for an internship. It's something that I thought about all the time, and believe me, I tried not to think about it, but I just couldn't shake it. And so I remember getting on my knees and asking God, God, what is going on? I've worked for 4 years of my life to get these interviews, and this is what I thought I wanted. Is this what you want me to do? Do you not want me to become a corporate consultant? Or should I seriously consider taking this internship, this unpaid internship at the church? What do you do in a situation like that? Which direction do you go? What do you choose? And you can guess which option I chose because I'm standing here today. And let me tell you, it's not an option, it's not a decision that I've ever regretted. I would choose that same option 1,000 times over because this is my greatest privilege to be building church, doing something that I love, to see God's kingdom at work is my greatest passion and my greatest privilege. But you see, I didn't know it at the time. And making that decision was difficult. How do we make good decisions in our lives? How do we make decisions that we know are in line with God's purpose for us? Well, over the years, I've kind of developed a little process. I've come up with a few things that have helped me make decisions, and I thought this morning that I'd share them with you. Okay, so here goes. Here is my process for making good decisions. Okay, so here's the first one. Firstly, what I do is I pray. You know, the Bible says in James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So I believe that God wants to give me wisdom for the decision that's ahead. So I pray and I ask God first. Next, I turn to the Bible. In Psalm 119, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We believe the Bible, the word of God, the infallible word of God, illuminates our path. It illuminates our decisions. And hear me this morning, God's will never be outside of his word. God's will never be outside of God's word. So we turn to the Bible. Next, I acknowledge my desire. I say, God, I've asked you for wisdom. I've read the word of God, but this is what I want in it. This is what I'm desiring. This is what I'm believing for. This is what I'm hoping for. And then I surrender the outcome. You know, if you're asking a question, but you've already determined the outcome, you're not really asking the question. You've got to surrender the outcome. And that's really what Jesus did in Luke chapter 22. We find this beautiful picture of our Savior. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he went to the cross. And he says these words. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. It is my desire, Father, that you take this cup from me. I don't want to die. But not my will, but yours be done. That's his surrender. You acknowledge what you want. You give your desires to God. And then you surrender the outcome. Next, you seek wise counsel. In Proverbs 11, it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I seek counsel, I seek wise counsel from people that I know are just further along the journey than me. Now, I don't ask people's opinions or who I know are going to tell me what I want to hear. We're not looking for people who are yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir kind of people. No. We're looking for people who are godly, who are just a further along the journey than us, and we ask them for wise counsel. Next, after we've prayed and turned to the word of God, we've acknowledged our desires, we've surrendered the outcome, we've sought wise counsel, what I tend to do is I make a choice. I make a choice in my heart. I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and I let it sit for a day or two. I let it ruminate because I want to find the peace of God. In Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You see, peace, it acts like an umpire. It acts like a referee. And I believe that God illuminates peace in our heart, a peace that transcends all forms of understanding. And we look for that peace. But let me tell you something a little bit about peace. Peace has to be found in conjunction with all of the other steps. Because who knows that when you're dating someone, you feel all forms of peace. But that's because you're not thinking with your head or your heart. So you need to find all of these steps in conjunction with peace. And then you trust. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. He will direct your paths. He will give you guidance. He will illuminate your way. And then after you've done all that, you act. You make a decision and you act on it. Some of us spend our whole lives praying about stuff and then doing nothing about it. At some point, we've got to turn our prayers into action and then we act. So in summary, we pray for wisdom, turn to the Bible, acknowledge our desires, surrender the outcome, seek wise counsel. We make a choice in our heart, let peace rule, trust in God, and then we act on our choice. Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that helpful? Yeah? It seems godly to me because we're including God in every aspect of our decision making. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. That's great. I'm going to go with that. But here's the problem. As good as this process behind me is, as necessary as it is in certain situations, as helpful and useful as it is, this whole process is an answer to the wrong question. God, what do you want me to do? It's not a bad question, and it's the right question in some instances, but it's not the primary question. God, what do you want me to do is the secondary question. You see, most of us spend a lot of time agonizing about decisions in our lives, agonizing over crossroads that we come to in our lives because we're asking the wrong question. Because we assume that what God cares most about is our behavior. We assume that what God cares most about are our actions, about what we do. And at the start of 2019, when you come to make decisions about your life, at the start of this new year, as you come to set some resolutions for the rest of this year, I want to tell you that that is not the case at all. Of course he cares about what you do, but he cares about something more. He cares about something else more. I want to read you a few verses from 1 Samuel 17. Now, this is the story of David and Goliath. Many of you here might be familiar with it, but let me set the scene for you. So David is the youngest son of Jesse. Jesse's got 8 sons, and David is the youngest son. And his job is as a shepherd boy. He tends his father's sheep. Now, at this point in time, the Israelites were at war with the Philistines, and David's eldest brothers, they had gone to join the war, and they were in the Israelite army under Saul. And so part of David's job now was tending his father's sheep, but also bringing provisions to his brothers at the battlefront. And so on one such occasion, we find David at the battlefront, and he sees that there's this big giant, Goliath, who's intimidating all of the Israelite army. No one from Israel wants to go and fight Goliath. And then this is what David says. David says to Saul in verse 32, he says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him," meaning him. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man." Records tell us that David wouldn't have been even 20 years old at this point. And Goliath, he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." Okay, David. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will also rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Do you want to know what God cares about the most? What God is bothered about the most when it comes to our lives? Listen, he does care about what we do. He does care about the details of our lives because we are precious to him, because he loves us. It's like being a parent. I don't have children, but I remember what it was like to be a child. And my parents, they cared about every detail of my lives. You know, when I came back from school and I told them funny stories about what had happened, they listened and they cared about the details about people they'd never even met. When I came home and I wanted to change my favorite color from purple to pink to green, they cared about those details. And when I wanted to match this Barbie doll with this Ken doll, they cared about those insignificant details, not because the details were precious, but because I was. God cares about the details of your life because you are precious to him. But do you know what he cares about most of all? God cares about who you are more than what you do. God cares about who you are before he cares about what you do. Everyone say, who before do. Who before do. What God really cares about, what his primary focus is, what he cares about more than anything else is who he's calling you to be more than what he's calling you to do. Because he cares more about who than do. There's no point in me being the greatest preacher in the world, delivering sermon after sermon, if when I get off this stage, I'm full of pride and greed and selfishness. He cares about more about what's inside me than what I do outside there. He cares more about who he's calling me to be than what he's calling me to do. Because here's the truth. You can never do what he's calling you to do if you don't become who he's calling you to be. Who before do? Say, who before do? In the part of the story that we just read, David, he's a shepherd boy, but he becomes the greatest warrior that Israel had ever known, and eventually it leads him to be a king. But here, David didn't know that. This was way, way, way before all of that. David was still a shepherd boy. But you see, shepherding was what David did. It's not who David was. Shepherding was what David did. it's not who David was. David had become something else entirely. In verse 34, what does he tell Saul when he's fighting Goliath? He says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. That's what I've been doing. I've been tending my father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I struck it and I rescued it. And then when it turned on me, I took it by its hair and I struck it and I killed it. You see, David had already become a warrior. David had already become a warrior. What David was doing was tending his father's sheep. But who David was becoming was a warrior full of strength and courage. Become who God has called you to be. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the will of God is for your life, find out who he wants you to be and become that on purpose. Grow into that on purpose. The right question, the first question, the primary question always is, God, who do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? That's the first question. That's the primary question. In 2019, if I was to ask you that question, who does God want you to be? Who is he calling you to be? What would your answer be? Would you look at me and say, well, I think I have a pretty good idea? Or would you say, hey, actually, Sid, I have no idea who God wants me to be. None at all. But you see, that's not true at all. God has told you who he wants you to be. Now, listen, you might not know the specifics, but you do know who he has called you to be. Carl Vater said this, and I love this. He said, finding God's will for your life is not as difficult as we make it out to be. In fact, 90% of God's will for my life is the same as 90% of God's will for your life. And he's right. Because every instruction given in the Bible is God's will for your life. It's who God wants you to be. If you're looking in 2019 for who God wants you to be, open this book and start reading. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. He wants you to be sanctified. In 1 Peter 1, he says, be holy as I'm holy. God wants you to be holy. In John 13, he says, love one another like I have loved one another. He wants you to be loving. In Ephesians 4, he says, be kind, be tender-hearted, be forgiving. The Bible is full of verse after verse after verse of God telling us who he has called us to be. Become who you know he already has called you to be. Focus on the 90% that you do know, not the 10% that you don't. God's will is that you become everything that he has outlined for us in this book, in the Word of God. And when you are the right who, you will choose the right do. When you are the right who, you will choose the right do. Who do you want me to be, God? And become everything that he's called you to be. But you see, in order to do that, you've got to start somewhere very important. I want to go back to the story. In 1 Samuel 17, the story goes on, and this is what Saul does after releasing David to go and fight Goliath. In verse 38, it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. And then David takes his staff in his hand. He takes smooth stones from the stream, puts them in his pouch, and with his sling, he approaches this Philistine giant. And with one shot, holding his sling and some stones, he defeats Goliath. And a great victory was won in Israel that day. But here's what I want you to see. In verse 38, we read that Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put Saul's coat of armor on him, Saul's bronze helmet on his head. And David said, I cannot go in these. Because it felt uncomfortable to David. It felt awkward. It didn't fit because it was Saul's armor. It was Saul's tunic. It was not David's armor to wear. Listen to me now. There are some of us here, and we are wearing things that are not ours to wear. Maybe you're here and you have believed things about yourself for all of your life. Maybe some things that other people have put on you, put their tunic on you, put their helmet on you, put their armor on you. And it feels uncomfortable and it feels heavy and it feels limiting and restricting. Of course it does. It is not yours to wear. Maybe you're here this morning and you have worn a lie all your life that says that you are not worthy of love. Maybe you're here and you've worn some armor that says that you are insignificant, that your life doesn't matter, that you're a failure, that you're a mistake, that you are an accident. Maybe you've worn some lies over all your life that says that you're not chosen, that you're alone, that you're all going to be enslaved forever. But I want to tell you this morning that that is a lie, that those things are not from God. That is not your armor to wear. That is someone else's tuning. That is someone else's baggage. Those are someone else's issues. You are a child of God. And the word of God says something totally different about you. Right now, this morning, it's time as you start 2019 to start putting on some new clothes. It's time to start taking off. Like Saul said, like David said to Saul, I cannot go in these. I want to tell you this morning, you cannot go with the stuff that you're carrying into 2019. It's part of the old you. You need to take a new you into the new thing that God is calling you to be in this new year. You got to take some stuff off this morning. You got to take off some old armor. You got to take off some old words, some old lies that you've carried with you all your life. It's time to take them off. They are not yours to wear. It doesn't fit you. You are not that person. You are the person who God has called you to be. You are the person who God is calling you to be, both now and in this new year. If you have believed a lie, if you've worn a lie that says that you are unworthy of love, I want to tell you, in Jeremiah 31, God says that He has loved you with an everlasting love. If you have worn a lie that says that you are an accident or that you're a mistake, I want to tell you that in Psalm 139, it says that He knit you together in your mother's womb, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you believe a lie that you are insignificant, in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says that God has created you. He chose you before the foundation of time. You are God's handiwork, created to do good works. If you have believed a lie, if you have worn a lie all your life that says that you are not chosen, in Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. If you believe a lie that says that you will be enslaved forever, well, I want to tell you, in John 8 verse 36, it says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, this is who you are, church. This is your new beginning. This is who God says you are. And to become everything that God has called you to be, you have to believe who God already says that you are. You cannot become the warrior He has called you to be if you're wearing someone else's armor. You got to believe everything that He says that you are. I want to ask you, if you'd stand to your feet right now all across this place, I want to do something that I believe is going to be significant for us at the start of this new year. We believe that every year, every day is a fresh opportunity from God for us to come and position ourselves anew, position ourselves afresh, and to receive revelation. If you want to make a New Year's resolution, make it this. You resolve to receive the revelation about who God says you are. In 2 Corinthians verse 5 and in 17, chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, if anyone is in God, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And we're going to put that into practice today, right now, at the start of 2019. Listen, this morning I'm believing that there is freedom in this place. Because God is here, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to shed some old stuff. We're going to leave it in 2018. You are not going to leave here the same. If you engage with God, if you allow yourself to open up your heart, allow the Spirit to come and work a deep work in your heart, you can leave here different. You can leave some old stuff behind. The Bible says that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. It's time to leave some old wineskins. It's time to shed off some old armor now. Like Taylor Swift said, shake it off. You know, we're going to shake some stuff off. We're going to leave some stuff. And right now, in this moment, If you want to engage with this, if you have faith to believe that you can live different, I want you to call to mind every lie that you have believed about yourself, every thing that somebody has said over you that is contrary to who God says that you are. Call to mind right now, all over this place. Call it to mind, bring it to mind. Think about it. Every lie, every attack of the enemy, anything, any word that has been spoken to you that is not who God says you are, bring it to mind. Okay, amazing. Now, we're going to start singing. We're going to start singing about who God says that we are. We're going to start believing all the words that are spoken over us in the Bible, the truth of God's word. It says that you are chosen. It says that you are free. It says that you are a son, that you are a daughter, that you are an heir, a co-conqueror with Christ. It says that you are healed. It says that you are free. It says that you are significant, that your life matters. It says that you are a chosen vessel of God, that you are the apple of his eye, that he loves nobody like you. He has loved you with a love that is everlasting. Come on, let's declare this over our lives. Declare this over your heart. Come on, sing, church. Sing it out loud. Declare it in faith. The start of 2019, this is who God says that you are. Come on.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.